First, the number of sexual offenses reported in Wisconsin increased slightly over a five-year period. That's according to new data from the State Department of Justice. Shows a little over 5,100 sex crimes reported in the state last year, a small increase compared to about 4,700 about 5 years ago. Erin Thornley Parisi is the executive director of the Rape Crisis Center based in Madison. Erin, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me, Rob.
Well, looking at this new data, what story does it tell about the number of sexual offenses reported last year?
What I see this as hopeful news in that I don't think it means that sexual assaults have increased. I think it means that the number of people who have reported to law enforcement have increased. And that's a really good statistic to know that more people are engaging in the criminal justice system to try to seek justice in that way.
What do you think, if that's the case, what do you think that has changed that's making people more likely to report where maybe in the past they might not have?
Yeah, I think it's the Me Too movement. We really did see, and the Time's Up movement, we really did see over the past couple of years that we're finally, you know, as women and as other survivors, standing up and saying that we're not going to be silent about this anymore. And, I mean, there's still, you know, we are definitely still way too silent about it, but that we have seen an environment where it is okay to say that you have been sexually assaulted, and we no longer accept victim blaming the way that we have in the past.
Are there policies, let's start at the statewide level, are there state policies that might create a better environment where someone who is a survivor of sexual assault is going to be more willing, more comfortable coming forward and reporting that to law enforcement?
I don't think there are policies that encourage that at this point, no. You know, it's about policies. It's also about resources, and it's also about jurors, which is the general public. What we find is that we still do have very judgmental jurors that that don't believe victims or that feel that victims are not credible witnesses to the crime committed against them. That remains a problem. And we also don't have the kind of resources in the district attorney's office that, say, the offender may have with, you know, a wealthy father or wealthy contributors to their defense fund. So there's an imbalance there as well that is still going to keep people from reporting sexual assault.
We're in a state budget year. Are there things that you think the state could or should do that might help correct that imbalance you see?
Well, I think that, you know, I would really look at you know, kind of the upstream approach and say that where we really need to be putting our money right now is in prevention and in education. And, yes, there are things that can be done. There is a fund that's called the Sexual Assault Victim Services Fund, and it has remained stagnant over the past 10 years at about $2.3 million that's divided up between every rape crisis center in the entire state. So it's a pretty minimal amount of money that we have to be able to pay for the structures of rape crisis centers and also for the prevention work that we need to do. So we have asked for that to be increased to $5.8 million, but it actually had a slight cut in the governor's budget, and I'm hoping that, that slight cut can be restored and that we can really get that up to the amount that we need to stop sexual assault before it happens, as opposed to only putting, you know, the majority of our resources into intervention once it has happened.
We're talking to Erin Thornley Parisi, Executive Director of the Rape Crisis Center based in Madison, looking at the state's statistics on sexual offenses, how they've changed over time, and what can be done to bring those numbers down through prevention. And let's tackle that point a little more, Erin. What kind of, you mentioned education, first of all, what kind of education efforts might be effective at preventing sexual assault so that we're not needing to have so much conversation about how to react to it afterwards?
It's really about getting in front of students in our schools and getting in front of them consistently. At this point, we have, you know, it has been increasing over the years that we are doing more and more in schools, but What usually we are invited in by a teacher that that cares about this issue, that wants us to really work on this issue, and so we'll come in and we'll talk with their students perhaps 30 minutes every year. Obviously, 30 minutes is not going to allow us to create, kind of turn the rape culture that exists naturally in a school environment to one of safety and equity for all students. So we need to have more time and have a regular curriculum in which we are going into all of the schools on a very regular basis and getting in front of every student every year and for several class periods in a row, because obviously the more people hear a message, the more students hear a message, the more they're going to absorb that.
Are there examples around the country of curricula that have a proven track record that say, okay, if we invest in these particular programs, we are bringing down the rates of sexual assault?
There are several that are recommended, and we have looked into some of those, but we haven't gotten the kind of permission to go into the schools at this point, although we are in some conversations that are hopefully going to improve that. But what we focus on is primary prevention, that is teaching students how to become advocates for themselves and for other students. So students learn really well from other students, especially from those that they admire. So we kind of go in and look for people who might be those natural leaders. And we have a group called Game Changers, which is our youth advisory board, where we select 19 students a year. It's a fairly competitive process. They have to complete an application. They have to get recommendations. And then we take those students and we teach them all about rape culture, and we teach them about what they can do, and also help them understand the intersectionality between different oppressions. Because as long as there is racism or there is homophobia, there is going to be sexual assault. And as long as there is sexual assault, there's going to be racism. You know, we just need to really alter how we look at equality among people. So we are teaching these students, and then they're in turn going out and teaching other students.
That's in the schools. Do you see other places where outreach could help reduce the rates of sexual assault?
Absolutely. I mean, everybody plays a role. Everybody can play a role. And one of the biggest things that we try to get out there is the act of consent. And that's really what turns something from being sex into something that is sexual assault. If consent has not been freely, enthusiastically received, and you continue to have sex with that person, then you are committing sexual assault. So consent can be taught at a very young age, and really it is not always, you can teach it without ever discussing sex. You can start out by saying to your child, "May I tickle you?" as opposed to just starting to tickle them. And then when they say stop, don't keep going and think that, you know, this is a fun little game. You stop, and you're saying to them, "When you tell me to stop touching your body, I stop touching your body." And so, you know, it can be as simple as teaching your children not to take each other's toys without asking. You have to have consent in order to take my toy. So we can start working on this very, very early, but that's something that every parent can do and that every individual can do. And we can employ this across the board, whether it's at the kitchen table or at the boardroom table. We just need to really all understand that consent is necessary when you're asking to interact with another person.
Briefly, and in our last few moments, you mentioned the Me Too movement, maybe making people more likely to report sexual assault. Do you think that impetus from Me Too is going to last, or are you worried that it's just a moment?
You know, I thought at the beginning that it might just be a moment, but, you know, it's been a couple of years now, and the truth is that I think that, you know, I think this is probably borrowing a line from a movie, but, you know, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. You know, I really think that we're not going to turn back. I think women are not going to go back into secrecy about sexual assault. So I think it's here to stay.
Erin, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Erin Thornley-Parisi, Executive Director of the Rape Crisis Center based in Madison, with us today to talk about new data from the State Department of Justice that shows a slight increase in the number of reported sex crimes last year compared to 2014.